All right, this is Jennifer Herron of jenniferherron.com and Cadence Coaching one more time. Now we're going to talk about the sneaky companions that keep you in the fear cycle. Your automatic negative thoughts, or your ants, as I call them, and your inner critic. I want to be really clear throughout this program that we're addressing a whole spectrum of what we call fear. Fear can show up as a tiny bit of nerves before you go into the show ring, feelings of dread as you prepare to participate in a clinic, heart palpitations or sweaty palms as you stand on the mounting block. It can be the spookiness that mimics your horses as you head out on the trail. It can be procrastination as you write your thesis or your blog post. It can be your reluctance to go for a new job or make a big change. It can be your reluctance to move up a level or ride with a particular instructor. It can be the thing you can't quite put your finger on that keeps you from being able to take your performance to the next level, no matter how hard you work. It can even be the thing that keeps you from being able to lose weight or get fit or write your novel or find your life partner. Fear is kind of an umbrella word for everything that gets in your way. You'll often hear me make references to actual riding, but please be broad in how you interpret and apply the principles we're discussing right now. As with much that has to do with horses, what we work on in our riding lives reflects startlingly back at us in our relationships, our health, and other passions. Okay, we all have automatic negative thoughts, or what I affectionately call ants. Ants are the thoughts that enter your mind even before you really have a chance to fully evaluate a situation. They tend to run rampant in our psyches, and if left unattended, can continually run you down the same old dead end, leaving you frustrated or demoralized. Ants tend to permeate many of our thoughts unless we make a conscious effort to override them. Ants are not real. They consist of stories that we make up about reality. We come to believe that our automatic negative thoughts and the interpretations we have that are driven by those are true. And then we act as if they're true. Okay? We come to believe that our ant-driven interpretations of reality are true, and then we act as if they are. The first step toward changing this pattern is to identify what is the truth and what is the story we tell ourselves about the truth, okay, the story that is actually not real. Our stories are usually so ingrained that this can be really challenging at first. The practices we're going to continually be adding and putting in place in this program are designed to help you repattern your automatic negative thoughts so that you can ultimately change whatever of your habits or behaviors you want to. Ants originate from the fact that humans historically through the ages have had to be on the lookout for bad, dangerous things. You've probably noticed that most people tend to focus on the negative rather than the positive. Okay, we actually have to make an effort to focus on the good things. This is because noticing threats and avoiding danger, like I've talked about before, are what have kept us alive throughout history. The only thing is that we now, most of the time, don't need to be continuously vigilant about threats. Now, our tendency to focus on bad things gets in our way to the point where most of the things that our ants chatter on about are only loosely related to reality if they are real at all. Ants allow all of our past negative experiences or thoughts to creep into the present moment by reminding us of them constantly. It's natural for our thoughts to center around negative things that we've experienced in the past, so it takes some effort to get them to center positively around the present. In the fear cycle, ants create tension in riders, and that creates tension in horses. Ants can contribute to what people sometimes think of as a fear of success, which I've told you I don't subscribe to. And that this is really just a fear of change. Human beings in general are aversive to change. Change represents the new and the unknown and can be quickly translated into danger deep down in our DNA. This is not necessarily a conscious fear of change, but it helps explain the reason we often become more nervous or anxious or resistant as we get closer to achieving our dreams. It's so instinctive that it's hard to even identify at times. When people talk about self-sabotage, this is generally the pattern they're referring to. It can seem like there's actually a force inside you that's working toward the opposite of what you desire most. This is the crux of it, isn't it? the fact that we are hardwired for growth and hardwired for survival at the same time. There are two powerful forces at work in our psyches that can cancel each other out and keep you feeling frustrated in your life if you don't figure out how to get them working for you and going in the same direction. So meet your inner critic. If you've ever had something that you really, really want to do, but every time you get close to doing it, your mind starts to wonder why and what if, and maybe it's not meant to be, you have been visited by your inner critic. We all grapple with self-doubt in one form or another, all of us. A while back, one of my clients was telling me excitedly about an opportunity that she was facing. She'd been invited to travel to Europe and train with a coach that she's admired for a long time. She'd received the invitation after riding in a local clinic, and she was over the moon thrilled at the prospect of going on this adventure. She was so excited about it. It was something she'd been dreaming about for years. Once she'd told me all about it, we began to discuss the logistics of the trip and what she'd need to do to prepare. And all of a sudden, her tone changed. She became hesitant and questioning. As soon as we started talking about the details and it started to feel real, she started talking about all the ways in which she's not quite prepared enough to go. She listed the things she really should accomplish first and the reasons that she wasn't a high enough caliber rider to train with this coach. Her inner critic had taken over. The inner critic is that voice that chatters inside your head and tells you you're not ready, you're not good enough, you're not talented enough, or not worthy. It's also the voice that tells you you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough time, or you don't have enough energy, or you're not as good as everyone else. It's actually a benevolent voice that took root in your childhood in order to protect you from becoming hurt. Your inner critic's job is to keep you out of situations where you might experience failure, criticism, or humiliation. None of us are really afraid of what's going to happen. We are afraid of how we are going to feel when things happen. There have likely been times in your life when your inner critic served you well. It kept you from touching a hot stove or crossing the street in traffic. Maybe at some point it helped keep you from making a big mistake. The problem with your inner critic, though, is that as this voice persists into adulthood, it often keeps you from taking risks that you need to take in order to live fully, to be totally engaged and make your dreams real. If you never fail, you never get criticized or experience taking a big risk, you are missing out on so many opportunities to grow and learn. Write down some of your most common thoughts that you can attribute to your inner critic. Think about the kind of things that come up in your mind when you're in the warm-up arena, when you're contemplating taking on a new experience or setting a big goal. I'm not ready. I don't deserve that. People might think. I might be wrong. I might fail. I'm not talented enough, skinny enough, wealthy enough, or popular enough. These are all examples of inner critic talk. Even I can't because it's raining and I don't have time and I can't afford it are often driven by your inner critic to help you get out of challenging stuff or avoid positive change. Think about how you treat your friends when they're under pressure or they need support. Do you tell them how much they suck compared to everyone else in the warm-up? Do you remind them of all the low dressage scores they've ever received in the past? No, of course you don't. As you're preparing for your competition season, and as you're, you know, throughout this next year, getting ready to take risks and take on new challenges, my invitation to you is to get good at thinking of yourself as your own dearest friend. What would you say to yourself in order to help you succeed? You have the power to inspire rather than disempower yourself with your thoughts. You do not need to believe your inner critic. Your inner critic will never leave you, I promise. She or he will hunker down and continue to show up anytime you're faced with taking some kind of big risk, doing something new, taking a stand for something important. The key is to identify her or him as not you. Most of the time when someone comes to me for coaching, we spend a little time identifying this inner critic voice. It is incredibly liberating to realize that the voice that tries to convince you that you are not good enough, not ready, or not as awesome as that other person over there, that voice is not you. That voice that tries to convince you that you are not good enough, not ready, or not awesome is not you. The inner critic is a mechanism for self-preservation that we all have, and we all have the ability to negotiate with it and relate to it in a productive way. So the key to getting past your inner critic to all the juicy experiences that life has to offer is to access what I call your inner coach voice. The inner coach is the voice that speaks up for your true wisdom, your dreams, and your self-trust. It helps you stay internally directed. Your inner coach knows what you're capable of and inspires you to go for it. When you're setting goals, you're strengthening your inner coach's voice and you're getting closer to being able to quiet your inner critic. When you're setting goals, it's important to lay out clearly what you want and how you want to feel in order to get ahead of whatever fears have held you back in the past. Your inner coach believes in your strengths, your courage, your abilities, and most importantly, your ability to learn and grow from adversity rather than wither. As I'm talking about this, I keep thinking about one of my clients whose mantra is, "I am the storm." This mantra took her from being a jumble of self-doubt to qualifying for and riding at the National Dressage Championships in Kentucky and simultaneously conquering a cancer diagnosis. Her inner coach voice reminds her again and again that she cannot be taken out by the storm when she is the storm. The internal chatter of her inner critic was all about not being good enough, not having the right horse, wondering if she could afford it, and ultimately wondering if she should give up in the face of breast cancer and what other people were telling her. Her inner coach voice kicked in, though, and took a stand for her dream and who she knew she needed to be. I know now that this mantra has helped her cultivate the courage to quit a job that was no longer serving her and start her own business so that she could travel, spend time with her family, and live the life she wants rather than the one she thought she had to. I am the storm. She now has that tattooed on her arm. Your inner coach is all about your aspirations. In the case of my client headed to Europe, once her inner critic got it all out, I had her talk about her vision, her goals, what this experience would mean to her in her life, and we talked about how it's aligned with her dreams and what the payoff will be if she goes on this journey. In this way, she was able to access her inner coach's voice and make some powerful decisions that were connected to her goals and her vision, rather than making a decision based on fear and on the insecurities of her inner critic. It is your inner coach's voice that will show up as you're doing your fear to power practice and deciding on the intentional positive thoughts that'll replace your automatic negative ones. How do you tell if your inner critic is getting in your way or if you're just being practical and realistic? I get this question all the time, and it's such a great question. Here's the thing. Your inner critic voice will tend to be opinionated and not interested in facts. It'll be repetitive and prone to sweeping generalizations. Your inner critic voice will likely not be interested in compromise or finding solutions, but rather will be into complaining and making judgments. Your inner critic voice will be all about black and white thinking. Your inner coach voice, on the other hand, tends to be calm and interested in facts and problem solving. Your inner coach voice is cool with figuring out ways to overcome adversity and trusts that you will find a way. Your inner coach voice will be okay with ambiguity and uncertainty, where your inner critic voice will tend to use uncertainty as an excuse to bail on things. These are some ways that you can tell the difference. Take a few minutes to answer these questions in your training notebook. Okay, we've already talked about the clarity piece. The clarity piece is really understanding this dynamic between your inner critic and your inner coach. The awareness part is really understanding how this shows up for you. Ask yourself, what are the specific thoughts or automatic negative thoughts, ants, that go through your mind when you're in the fear cycle? How would you characterize your inner critic voice? What kinds of things does he or she say? Actually write them down. What kinds of things does your inner coach tend to say when you're setting goals, when you're feeling inspired, when you're feeling motivated? What are those thoughts that are generated by your inner coach voice? Okay, so that's where awareness comes in. Understanding what will be possible for you when you can shift from the fear cycle into the power cycle. Why does this even matter? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself also, how will your relationship with your horse be impacted when you operate, or your horses, be impacted when you operate in the fear cycle or in the power cycle instead of the fear cycle. If these are new concepts for you, please bear with me and start to listen for these two distinct voices in your head. Which one is louder? Which one treats you like a true friend? Which one gets in your way and which one moves you forward? I'll be referring to these two voices throughout the performance project, only sometimes we call your inner critic your itty-bitty shitty committee, so be ready for that. Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul, said in that book, "There is nothing more important to true growth than realizing that you are not the voice of the mind. You are the one who hears it." There's nothing more important to true growth than realizing that you are not the voice of the mind. You are the one who hears it. Thank you for being here with me. Don't be afraid to get down and dirty with your aunts and your inner critic, starting now.